Good morning, good people, and welcome to the Poolproof Wisdom podcast. Just so you know, I've never been someone who fits in. Now, that's because I was never anyone who tended to follow the crowd either. Even as a kid, I was this way, which meant that those who felt I was a threat to their status quo often found me problematic, which translated into them picking fights with me all the time. I never understood why minding my own business and doing things my way pissed off so many people then, young and old, but I certainly grew to understand it over time. By the time I'd made it to high school, nothing had changed but me. I was the same person, but I developed a way of existing without fighting. Now, that's mainly because of one epic fight in elementary school that resulted in my mom having to come and pick me up, therefore losing hours at work for the umpteenth time, and at the end of it all telling me, without a bit of joking, that if I ever did it again, she was going to slap the black off me. And I knew she meant it. So yeah, I learned the meaning of pivoting really, really early. Instead of fighting, therefore, I avoided trying to fit in with other groups at all. Who needed them anyway? I'd create my own group and make it interesting and worthy enough that others wanted to be a part of it. See how I think? It's no wonder I became a PR guy, right? I wasn't a jock. I wasn't the most attractive. I wasn't cool. But I was smart and driven and confident enough in my strengths in these areas that my insecurities didn't make it impossible to pursue this path. So that was my strategy. I would create what didn't exist, a new aspirational group of people who could run the school with a benevolent but powerful hand. We would embrace the underdogs, the weird, the misunderstood, and unite in our collective pursuit of reinventing the typical high school hierarchy. Now, I knew what I had to do. I just wasn't sure I was the logical leader of this movement. I mean, I'm an introvert. I didn't like drawing attention to myself then, and I don't like it now. Not at all. But because I was driven to achieve my goal, and I'm capable of tremendous focus when I have a goal I'm really committed to, I put aside my tendencies and became what I needed to become, a leader. It started slowly at first. I had to create what I now know was the brand for this new group. This happened with small wins, earning the favor of administrators, teachers, and other adults in the school that allowed bending rules like limits on who could go out for lunch versus eating in the school cafeteria, for instance. This was a benefit once limited to seniors, but I was able to make it possible for underclassmen with certain GPAs to do so by their sophomore year. I served on various committees and in student government roles that interacted with school leadership and made this effort a platform for change by highlighting developmental benefits for promising students with high academic achievement. It wasn't the first time, nor would it be the last time, I'd deploy what I understood about human behavior to achieve a specific outcome. And the more I did so, the greater the influence of this group of people, once on the outside of every clique, became. The nerds, the weirdos, or odd folks out saw the shift happening and wanted in. Hell, even kids in the typical cliques wanted to be part of what we were doing. By the time I was in my senior year and about to graduate, I had left being an outsider behind long ago and can honestly say I created for myself a place to fit in and for dozens and dozens of others to fit in as well, simply because I didn't want to fit in any place someone told me I didn't fit and then fight with me about it because I didn't care to disagree with them about the notion. Looking back at that time, I realized why I became what I needed to be. It's because I am never going to be someone who feels the need to please other people as payment for their acceptance. I also realize that I grew to embody the characteristics of my heroes and heroines of the day. They've always been different, probably described as weird by others. Too loud, too honest, too dramatic, too opinionated, too sensitive, too free. They have skills and powers they often downplay because they don't want to be noticed. It usually takes something big happening in their lives for them to become what they're destined to be. And I can relate to that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm nobody's hero, never aspired to be, and have no interest in it. But what I am is someone who has found his own superpower in being fiercely myself, even when doing so comes with either great opportunity or consequences. It's always a toss-up, you see. I've learned, nonetheless, how to inspire others to embrace their own normal and appropriate when others don't or won't accept that different is not only good, but absolutely necessary. Like in high school, I gravitate today toward the people who are other than acceptable. These people, I've found, make up my tribe. Wait. Am I still allowed to even say tribe? Hard to tell these days. So freaking hard. Oh well, screw it. Yeah, these people make up my tribe. Where doors are not open to us, we make our own. When we aren't like everyone else, we live into our own lives so inspirationally that others want some of what we've got. We celebrate our own differences and the differences of everyone else who is courageous enough to be unapologetically themselves despite what the world may think. Absolutely. My tribe inspires me. Now, fitting in is really overrated, but creating spaces where everyone can be free is the most important thing any of us can do, I believe. I see the irony in how desperate so many people are to be liked, acknowledged, or influential today as proof that they matter when they don't even believe it themselves. Folks are curating lives they don't live so people will aspire to something that doesn't exist, and likes are the currency they're using to determine their own value. Now that's truly the antithesis of how we must determine our real value, people. It really is. So while I'm on social media, my brand, to use that often misunderstood word, is about welcoming people who appreciate what I put out, not thinking myself less valuable if everyone doesn't receive it. I'm not shading anyone who does have hundreds of thousands or millions of people following them. Good for you. But it's not what I'm using social media platforms to accomplish. It's not my thing. I'm more focused on the micro reach than the macro reach. I've been building what I consider my purpose for years now. And every year, new people find my contributions, share what I share, and continue the organic growth of the foolproof wisdom I'm laying down. One person at a time joins the tribe, you see, and that's more than enough for me. I'm as true to my goal of building something people are interested in today as I was when I first realized the potential of creating something that reflects me, but that others can connect with in high school. And realizing that, after all these years, just makes me smile. So, find your tribe, good people. Tap into your own unique abilities to create a place for yourself where none exists. And most importantly, know that if you live long enough, you'll learn how, when it comes to living and defining your life in a purposeful way, to become so very much yourself that your authenticity, your specialness, and your talents build a bridge others can cross to find themselves too. No place is as welcoming, after all, as the place where everyone is someone, because everyone accepts the someone everyone is.